Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And it's one of those predictions that's not based on any kind of fact whatsoever. I want to make that clear. It was that I had a dream last night. I had a very weird night of sleep because the football game took forever. I just had a tough time falling asleep. As you guys know, Jackson Dart is going to be the backup for the Giants on Sunday, which is a big deal. And one thing it does is it takes the control away. Okay? What I mean by that is, as long as Jackson Dart was the third-string quarterback, the New York Giants completely controlled when he would make his NFL debut.
Yes, that's correct.
Because he's a backup, the control's gone. If Russell Wilson gets hurt, there's no other option. Jameis Winston can't just enter the game. He'd be the emergency quarterback. So I have a feeling.
If he is the backup on game day.
I'm assuming he is. Obviously, it's an unofficial depth chart, but I'd be surprised if he's not.
Right.
Here's my prediction for Sunday. Are you ready for this, Tiki?
I'm waiting.
Russell Wilson isn't going to get hurt. I want to make that clear. I'm not going to sit here and predict an injury. But he's going to take a hit. And when he takes that hit, all of a sudden there's going to be a buzz down that says, uh-oh, Russ needs to go into the tent because the NFL is extra secure.
Of course.
Checking for concussions.
100%.
Russ will go into the tent, and here comes Jackson Dart. My prediction to you is Jackson Dart will indeed make his NFL debut tomorrow.
This is your gut feeling.
It's a gut feeling because I couldn't sleep last night.
This is a waking dream that you had.
I wouldn't even say it's a dream because I'm not furthering a Teak by telling him he's going to throw a touchdown or anything like that.
Evan, to correct you, he's going to make his debut Sunday.
What did I say?
Tomorrow.
Oh, today's not Saturday?
No.
I thought we were doing a Saturday show in America.
You really did not get any sleep.
My days are confused. But you all know what I meant, obviously.
Yeah. Yes.
So, Tiki Barber, assuming Jackson Dart is the backup, and I have every reason to believe he will be.
And this happens.
No. Will Jackson Dart play football on Sunday?
No.
He will not.
I do not think so.
He will not enter this game in a package?
I don't think so.
He will not enter the game because of concussion protocol?
I don't think so.
He will not enter the game because the Giants are winning or losing 52-0.
Maybe if they're winning 52-0.
Okay. Is he playing on Sunday?
No, he's not playing on Sunday.
Fair enough.
Russell Wilson is playing the entire game on Sunday.
Entire game, okay. Yes. I want you on record.
I think Brian Dable's got some strategy. I think you're seeing him on Sunday.
We're getting a big package?
Not a big package, but I think you're...
Small package?
But what would be the point? What would be the point of Jackson Dart playing, five plays?
I believe Jackson...
Maybe even less than that.
I believe Jackson Dart offers a different element of mobility that the Commanders have not prepared for and are not prepared for. And I don't think it's...
Yeah, but he's not a runner. I mean, he's not Jaden Daniels or Lamar Jackson or even Josh Allen. That's not his game. I know he can run. He's an athlete, and he's fearless, as we saw in the preseason. Slide, please, Jackson Dart. But it's not his game. You're not putting in quarterback power for Jackson Dart.
No, and I don't mean that that's the play call, but I just think he gives you a little something. And the way I look at Jackson Dart right now, it's kind of like when we were kids on Christmas. I think he's Brian Dable's shiny toy. And I really think that there's a way to play with the toy without fully opening the toy, if you will. Mm. I think Brian Dable can't help himself like a kid who has a new Xbox. I think we're going to see him for a play, two, three, something like that on Sunday.
So Jackson Dart will make his NFL debut on Sunday. Tommy, will Jackson Dart make his NFL debut on Sunday?
Yes. I think you get a medium-sized package, which I think is a pretty solid package.
Oh, sure.
I would say in the red zone, I think you'll see him there. And let me throw this out there. Giants are down 21-0 at the half.
Oh,
you put Dart in the game. You're down 21.
The game's not over at 21-0.
I know, but think about it, Teak. You're down 21-0. People say, all right, they're going to lose the game anyway. So there's no pressure. If he brings them back, it's all gravy.
Yeah,
if they lose 30-0, whatever, they were already down 21 points, and you give them a little bit of reps, you could still make the starter in week two, and Jackson Dart gets his feet
wet. Look, football is about possessions. It's like anything. It's like baseball is about innings, how many at-bats you have left, etc. Football is about possessions. At 21-0 at halftime, the game's not over. There's still eight possessions, maybe six to eight possessions left. So it's not over
but
yet.
But what if the offense is not moving the ball at
if
all?
If it's 21-0 in the fourth quarter, that's a different conversation.
Okay.
But in at halftime, the game's not over.
Yeah, I think
anything can happen.
I agree with you. I think as long as it's mathematically possible, he won't pull the plug that quickly.
Okay.
Where I will tell you, just looking into Brian Daboll's eyes, I'm a good mind reader. Looking into Dabes' eyes, he can't wait to go to Jackson Dart.
When was the last time you looked into Dabes' eyes?
Yesterday when I was watching a video on YouTube.
Oh,
that's the same thing, bro.
I thought you were going to say in your dreams.
No, I was not dreaming about Brian Daboll.
I was going to say, why are you dreaming about my team?
I had a weird dream, but it wasn't about Brian Daboll. I had another dream about Jerry Recco. It's a second time in a week.
What is going on?
Yeah.
Something is wrong with you.
So are you ready for this one? We were at Hershey Park.
What?
Hershey?
Yeah, me and Recco went to Hershey Park just as friends. Like, there was nothing crazy going on. And, yeah, we were going on one of those rides, like one of those roller coasters, and I was scared. That was my dream.
Are you kidding me?
Well, I was thinking about Hershey Park because I'm thinking of taking the kids there.
Yeah.
It's been on my mind for a few weeks, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then I said on the air, oh, I had a dream about Jerry Recco. So I think, like, Recco was on my mind because I had a dream about him.
Now, does dream Jerry Recco re-greet you like, hey, here I am again.
No, it was just matter of fact. Like, yeah, we're at Hershey Park. No biggie. Let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. That's the toll-free number. Mark is calling from Long Island. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Evan and Tiki. How you guys doing?
We're good.
Good. What's up?
Well, I found myself going down a Tiki rabbit hole. A bunch of my colleagues and I were going to buy some tickets for the Powerball, and I looked up the odds of winning. It's 292 million to one.
Wow.
And then somebody texted about, oh, you got a better chance of getting hit by lightning. So I Googled that,
and
believe it or not, it's low. It's 1 in 15,300.
Oh, is that right? God, if that's true, Mark, and we're going to have to fact check you. You sound like a nice guy.
Mm.
If it's only 1 in 15,000...
then that's why they had to stop the game.
I apologize. Because you got 80,000 people in a stadium. That means 15, 30, 45... That means five people are going to get struck by lightning.
Exactly.
I can't have that happen.
Exactly.
Forget
the guys on the field.
Do you believe that's true, though? Can you look up the odds of getting struck by lightning? I'm the only one. Me and Tiki, the only ones with computers in front of us.
Right.
I guess we have to do it. What are you guys even doing here?
What are we doing?
we have our phones.
Yeah, I don't know if you're aware. A phone is a computer these days.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
If it's 1 in 15,000, then I think you do have to stop. I never thought it was that low. I thought getting struck by lightning was 1 in a million.
The odds of being struck by lightning in your lifetime are 1 in 15,300.
Yeah, but that's in your lifetime. That's not the
same. All
right,
same. So in a given year, it's 1 in a million.
Yeah, 1 in a million.
No, no, here's what you got to look up. Tiki, go down the rabbit hole. I trust you more than them.
All right.
If you're sitting outside in a lightning storm.
Okay, so this sounds like it compounds the more specific the time frame you give.
Yes.
So it's 1 for 15,000 in a lifetime.
Yeah, about lifetime.
In a year, it's 1 in a million. So that means in a day, it's probably like 1 in 50 million.
All right, take it back.
And also, there's another important stat here from the National Weather Service.
Yes.
Almost 90% of all lightning strike victims survive. Man, getting struck by lightning, very overrated.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah, it's hard to do, and it's likely you're going to survive. We grew up our whole lives like, what a death sentence.
Or, have you guys watched Saved by the Bell? Remember what happened to Screech Powers? He could tell the future.
Yeah.
He got struck by lightning, and all of a sudden, Screech knew what was coming. Did he know about what would happen with him in the cast?
Yeah.
Probably not. Let's go to Colton in Toms River, New Jersey. What's up, Colton?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good.
Good.
Super excited to get out to the game at MetLife Sunday, and I can't wait to see Justin Fields in the green and white. But I got to tell you, what's even better is seeing Aaron Rodgers' geriatric self trot back into MetLife to light up the New York Jets. Here we go, Steelers. Here we go.
I knew this was coming.
Well played, Colton. Yeah. That was great.
I felt it.
He hung up on us.
I know.
He didn't even let you drop him.
I know.
He dropped the mic on us.
Here's the problem with Colton.
You.
The problem with guys like Colton. They're going to be filling up our stadium.
Yeah.
Colton might have
your tickets.
He may. Well, if he had them, he would have rubbed it in. Because I've already revealed where I sit at MetLife. So if someone knows... And I'll say it again. What was my section again I told you guys?
Oh, you think we remember?
You're the one that sits in.
Oh, 314, row one, seat.
16 and 17.
16, 15 and 16.
15 and 16.
Because it was Beltran and Doc. That's how I remembered it. You would probably rub it in. Like, not only am I a Steeler fan, not only am I in your building, I'm in your seats. That is what we have to deal with, Jet fans. There is going to be a lot of Steeler fans in our building. But here's what I'm confident about. I don't feel confident about the game. I don't. I don't feel confident about Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I don't feel confident about this offensive line. I don't. But here's where I have confidence. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is having some big-time performance.
Right.
I don't think the Steelers are putting up 30.
Well, and again, that's in one of those unknowns because we did not see him at all in the preseason.
But here's what we do know, Teague.
The last four seasons, and I'll take out the one where he got hurt, so the last four seasons he's played, his week one numbers are awful, and his teams are 0-4.
Right.
So the track record says we're not going to see the best of Aaron Rodgers, and I think that the Jets' experience practicing against him, which they had a lot of, is actually going to benefit them.
Well, I mean,
and I think that they're going to play well. I think defensively the Jets will play well on Sunday afternoon at MetLife Stadium.
Yeah, the question will be, what does the Jets' offense do?
That I'm not confident about.
That's what we just have no idea about, because we didn't see much of it in the preseason at all, really. And so it's kind of a hope.
Yeah.
It's complete hope with this Jet offense,
especially with
AVT now out.
No doubt. What I think could happen, and this will annoy me, I'm just going to warn you, so I bet you these two clowns do it. The Jets lose, okay? They lose 13-6. Mm-hmm. Low scoring, trudging kind of performance, and we get thrown in our face, Aaron Rodgers. When Aaron Rodgers was not the most impactful player on the field. Like, the LOL Jets card will come out, even if it's not worthy, because that's not why they lost. And I have to admit, while it shouldn't, that's going to bother me.
It's also insane. That Jets-Steeler game is the lowest point total on the board by at least 3 points in the entire week in the NFL.
I think they're right, too.
What is the
37
number?
37.5.
Wow. So that's 16, 17 points per team?
Yeah. The next one is Seahawks-Niners at 40.5.
And I'll give you this prediction. We'll make our picks later. I take the under. Like, I think it's actually going to live up to that. But it will annoy me irrationally. And I admit, Teague, sometimes I can't get past people saying irrational things.
You get too emotional
things.
About these things. It's one game.
I know.
Well,
it's not
going to matter.
It's not about the game. It's about
the storyline. It's the storyline that's wrapped around this game because of these two quarterbacks switching teams this offseason.
Well, it's about – I get bothered when LOL comments about teams in our town are said when it's not deserved. And to show you I'm fair – how many times have I defended the Knicks on this, Tommy?
No, you've defended them to the death on this.
Because it bothers me. Because the Knicks have moved past LOL Knicks. Mm-hmm. So whenever they get that, I get defensive, even though I can't stand the Knicks.
Because they don't still earn it. They don't still deserve it.
If the Jets lose this low-scoring game, I imagine, we can rip the offense and talk about, like, totally fair game. But I don't want to hear LOL Aaron Rodgers if the guy goes out with those two interceptions for 155 yards. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, but it's still LOL Jets because it's your Super Bowl.
It's not our Super Bowl.
Evan, if you can't get up for this game, where Aaron Rodgers returns to Mahir's Carl Banks. If you can't get up for
the
this
great
game,
Carl Banks, it's not our Super Bowl.
It's your Super
just
Bowl.
Shut
ask
up.
Carl.
It bothers me. You want me to ask Carl if it's
ask
my
Carl
Super Bowl?
If it's the Jets Super Bowl. That's week one with Aaron Rodgers.
He just gave me a massage and it felt really good.
Please don't,
stop.
I took it as a yes.
Please don't stop. Continue that, please. Thank you. I'm kidding. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the killer. He joined Joe and I twice a week for 10 years. I don't know how the hell he got through that. Ladies and gentlemen, you hear him calling the games with Bob Papa, the great Carl Banks. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm feeling all right. How are you feeling? Are you excited for another season? Oh, we got to bump Carl up.
No, bump me down.
Oh, bump you down. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I am. I think it's going to be an interesting year. I don't know where they're going to end up, win-loss, but they are a more talented team.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, looks like NFL football. Like, when you when you watch it, it just doesn't look hard.
Yeah.
And you know what
that
I'm talking
about.
That
was my take last year. Some of those games, and you were calling. Yeah. I felt bad for you, to be honest with you, because it wasn't watchable football.
It just looked
It was
hard,
non-competitive.
Right? Yeah, right. And, you know, they've got some stability on the offensive line as long as they have it. Obviously, that always helps. But I think with Russell, there's a leadership component that's player-driven now.
Right, yeah.
Right? And it's player-driven from someone who's not – in the peer group, if you will. He's been through it. He's faced adversity, come out on the other side of it. He's been a winner in this league. He's a perennial Pro Bowler and a Super Bowl MVP. So when he speaks, it's authentic, right? And the best part about it, and both Tiki and I can attest to it, if you can still play, your leadership, your words carry more weight, right? If it's a guy just chattering, and you look at him and you're like, he can't play. Like, yeah, that was great, but he can't play.
Right.
So he can still play. He's got a live arm. And, you know, he's chronically positive. And, that, you know, some people call him corny, right? And I've had lunch with him.
Mm-hmm.
It's just who he is, right? And
it's organic. It's authentic to who he is.
It's authentically who he is, right? And so you have these conversations and people are like, what did you think about it? I'm like, just who he is,
right?
I mean, if you have a problem with positivity, then, or if you're somebody who's always looking for the negative in it, You're not going to find it
right
in here.
Positive Tommy sitting right next to you. That's Positive Tommy's mantra the whole time. But here's the operative question, Carl, is how much do we think he has left? Because I keep getting asked this question. What's the offense going to look like? I don't know. Russell Wilson could have 12 great games or 10 or 4. I don't know the answer to that yet because of what we've seen over the last 3 years.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
To Pittsburgh and two in Denver.
Well, the one thing I've seen, and I guess it's the easiest thing to see with a quarterback, is if his arm is still alive.
Yeah.
I mean, he can drive it outside the numbers, and the deep ball has never left him.
Never left him.
So when you look at him in practice and he's driving, you know, the out routes, I'm like, okay, he's got a live arm. Now, he's not going to be as mobile, but he can still get out of the way. He can't be sack adverse or interception adverse. He's going to have to take sacks when he needs to take them. He can't be retreating like he used to because he doesn't have that escapability. But, you know, everybody is clamoring for Jackson Dart, and I get it. But to have a team that has the luxury of bringing a quarterback along to be your future is a luxury these days.
Right.
Because they've got Jameis and they've got, well, they got Russell and then Jameis. So they got guys who can hold the rope, and they can get him in. But there is a mandate to win. I don't think anybody's under the illusion that they can lose every game and say, hey, look, we got Jackson Dart, so we just can't wait for him to get in. Russell's got to win games. They all have to win games. So that's a given. How many, I don't know. But it's a better team. They've got better talent. And it looks like football.
Right.
Like, offensively, it just doesn't look like it's a struggle every single play.
Forget offensively. I think defensively is where I'm most excited. Simply, and it's just personnel right now.
Yeah.
We haven't seen them all play together yet with Dexon and obviously the edge rushers, Abdul Carter being the one that they just drafted. The free agents that they brought in in the second and third levels. It feels like this is going to be the Giants' identity again, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I know this is a wide-open passing league nowadays, but you still got to have some toughness. And I feel like the Giants did that this year.
Yeah, so it's going to be identified, hopefully, through defense. But I'm young enough to remember when there was a Jim Fossil-led offense and a Sean Payton-led offense.
100%.
Defense had its personality, but offense was kind of, you know, you guys were really putting up numbers. So I like the balance. Again, like, you have Roy Robinson-Harris. Well, let's put it this way. The Giants' defense now has rotational depth where in the past it was just guys who could fill in. So if Dexter went out, you could count on a 20-yard run.
Right.
No more. They have guys who they can rotate and really create different packages.
Right. It's not, there's no Jags.
Right.
Right. There's just a guy. This is a guy you're throwing in there. There's no expectation for him. Just don't look horrible. Nowadays, it feels like there is a lot of depth.
Yeah.
Everywhere, really.
The fact that you have legitimate competition with guys that, you know, not average guy versus a below average guy, which guy's going to start? It's like two starting caliber guys. You look at, you know, the cornerback position, just offensive line across the board. They're going to put the best five guys out there. And then the guys who back up are going to be good. So Marcus Bowe, who's position ambidextrous, like left and right, tackle. He goes, he switches, and it's just like his brain automatically flips over and he does everything, you know, the same as he would. I don't know what his strong position is, but he can play both.
Right. I thought he was a little better at right guard in the preseason. He felt more aggressive as a right guard. And as a left guard, it's just a different, it's a different animal playing left guard, or left tackle.
James Hudson, the third, brings personality and moxie to the offensive line. Like, he fights anybody. He'll bait you into what happened to Dak Prescott last night
with Jalen Carter.
He would bait somebody into doing that. He is totally that guy. Like, he will bait you into anything. I mean, he had fights with most of the edge rushers in practice. And it was just like for him, okay,
yeah,
come on. And then they'll try something hard, and then he slams them on their face. And it's just interesting. I like that he brings that to their offense, because I think offensive linemen, they need one a-hole in the group. Lovable to his teammates, but hate it everywhere else.
I have this belief that we have cameras everywhere during these games. So we saw Dak spit. We saw Jalen spit. How often were you spat at while you were playing in the NFL?
I have one score to settle.
Oh, still.
It's still unsettled.
Still. Carl, that was like 30 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Washington Redskins, Mark May. Put one right in my face. Yeah. So.
And how'd you respond to it?
Oh, we have a way. I couldn't get back at him the way I wanted to.
Sure.
But, so this is during a period where if an offense was pretty rough with you, you could literally look at film, and cutting on interceptions were legal. So if we got an interception, we already knew who the guys we were going after. So it could be away from the ball. We go get you. We go take your legs out. We go headhunt you. So we just never, that game, we never got around to doing it again. But I got him a few times, but like I thought he crossed the line when he spit in my face. I never forgot that one. But yeah, but I had my share of licks. But that's the one I unsettled score right now. I don't know if we can ever settle it now because we're not in competition.
Yeah.
And he's a good dude off the field. So.
Right. We're talking to Carl Banks. Giants kick off this season on Sunday in Washington. Were you surprised, and it's unofficial, but it seems like it's going to happen. Were you surprised that Jackson Dart is actually going to be the backup, which means they can't control his NFL debut? I mean, if something happens to Russ, he could play on Sunday. Did that surprise you?
I think it's a strategic move because of so much that he showed during the preseason.
Right.
Maybe somebody think there's a package coming in. Maybe there is a package for him.
That's what Sean says. Sean keeps saying it.
Yep. It could be. I don't know, but that's something else that Washington has to prepare for, right? If it's Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson, you know what Jameis is, right?
Right.
This kid, you don't know. Like, I mean, they've shown a lot of different things with him, and so could be a package. I don't know, but Washington now has to prepare for him.
What has impressed you, Brian Daboll, about him? Because with a young quarterback, sometimes it's, they were drafted high. He's going to play eventually. But it seems, from afar, obviously in my case, that Jackson Dart's impressed everybody. He has gone into the season with a, whoa, this kid has it. What's impressed you about him?
I think the kid has it.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean he's mastered the game. But he comes in with a certain level of confidence, but a knowledge of how football works.
Right.
Right? How to move in the pocket. And there's going to be things he hasn't seen, but when you watch him, you're like, he's got it. Like, he's a guy that you know is going to be a good quarterback for your team. Not, he's got potential. Oh, look at his arm. He can do it. When he learns this, he's a guy that gets it. And, you know, and it kind of speaks to when pundits are talking pre-draft and teams are not, pay attention to the guys they're not talking to.
Right.
Right? Because Brian Daboll interviewed all those other guys 4 or 5 times. I don't know what it was. But everybody just kept talking about the other guys. And Jackson Dart was a guy that, maybe he's a second rounder or whatever. But he's football ready. And the thing that I like about him and why I think he's NFL ready or prepared is that he had pro coaching. Charlie Weiss Jr.
Right.
They ran a pro system, and his head coach. So I think he ran sort of a pro offense, Lane Kiffin. And I think their meetings, how he processed football, was through the eyes of guys who actually coached in the league.
Yeah, I think you've probably seen this as well. And this is an intangible. This isn't he's got a big arm. He understands playbooks, things of that nature. But when you look at guys like Lamar Jackson, you look at guys like Josh Allen, forget what they do on the field. It's their relationship with their team is so like real. Like Tommy DeVito had this.
Yes.
He was an everyman.
Yes.
Everybody liked Tommy, and he'll hopefully he never plays in New England, see him go be successful someplace else. Because we love
him to be successful because, you know, if he could have the type of success as a backup that Tyrod Taylor had.
Right.
he's going to be making $5, $10 million for the next 6 years,
right.
8 years.
Right, and then he's going to retire and be a superstar.
And I would love that for him because, you know, at some point he's like, it's time for you to leave the nest, right? He had graduate school preparation, so Dable prepared him for whatever. But if he stayed here, it would just be another guy and then another guy.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But he leaves, and, you know, and Dable, he would be like the guy, the old reliable, right? Dable's never going to get rid of him because he knows what he can do, right? But they're going to always bring somebody else in.
Yeah.
Now he can go out and really maximize his potential earning and playing as a viable NFL backup quarterback.
No, I think you're right about that. But my point was about his ability to have great relationship with people. Yes. And I think Jackson Dart has that kind of relatability to whoever the dude is, whether it's the black dude from the South or whether it's the country boy from the Midwest. Like, he understands the relationship matters, especially when it comes to leader.
Yeah, and that's the beautiful part about when you have that type of quarterback, because the position requires that you are neutral on issues, a problem solver in the locker room, and you can navigate from click to click to click and go out to dinner, go out and have beers, go drink, and everybody loves you because you are not taking sides, but you're settling disputes, right? And then you bring everybody together for one goal. I think that's what's great about him as a young kid.
How good can Abdul Carter be?
He's got something special. He's different. He just, everything's different. And I made the analogy, not the comparison, but the analogy of, you know, Lawrence and I would practice all the time, and we'd be standing and watching him do something, and we ask him, what did you do? Like, are we watching practice film and something happened? What was that? He's like, I don't know. I gotta go back and look at it. Like he's that instinctive type of guy where he just, things happen, and he doesn't overthink it. He's a natural athlete and very, very instinctive, but, man, is he explosive.
Right. Let's break down this game against the Commanders down in D.C. Obviously, Jaden Daniels was ridiculous a year ago, winning Rookie of the Year. They're one of the top run teams. A lot of that is simply because Jaden Daniels is going to contribute. What is the key? If there was one, what did the Giants have to do to try to keep this thing close and win it?
Well, they've had it close. It's for the Giants. They've got to continue to pressure him, but they got to be better on the back end, which they are now. But here's the thing that I ask, because the league normally does its homework, right? And I'm going to say this, and they're probably going to hear it down in D.C., but how many half-court and full-court shots are you going to make this year?
That's a good point.
I mean, they won about three or four games off of these freaking full court, you know, half court shots.
Right, and not everybody is Steph Curry.
Right, right. And I mean, not to say he's not that talented, but like, how many teams, who's going to have a guy mugging the crowd when the game is on the line, right? And he just throws, you know, he throws up a half court shot and it goes in. I think teams are going to be better prepared. I don't know if they're going to be less prepared or less up to the task, but I think they're gonna face competition where some of the things that they were able to get away with, they won't be able to, because now everyone knows that Washington's a fourth quarter team.
Yeah.
You got to play them four quarters. So for the Giants, I would love to see them run the football and keep him off the field as much as possible. And when he's on the field, you still got to pressure him.
Right.
You want him to make plays under duress. He can make anything off platform, but if your back end of your defense is better, then those plays become incompletions, and then that's where kind of the frustration will get in. But I think the defense has enough speed to chase him when he breaks the pocket, and you know, so that it doesn't become a 30 or 40 yard run that he had last year.
You will hear more analysis like this on Sunday. Carl's calling the game with Bob. Tiki is now doing pre and post.
Love that.
So we are ready to go. Another NFL season. Carl, we appreciate you coming
by,
man. Thank you. Good to see you again.
We didn't talk about your Jets. We got to hear something about that.
Yeah, you know what? They're going to stink.
He is not optimistic at all.
I don't know what else is new.
Thank you, Carl.
The great Carl Banks, Giant football this Sunday right here on The Fan. The New York Jets are going to play less than a mile away on Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll make our picks for that game coming up. And then the Giants are going down I-95 to take on the Washington Commanders. Sean will be in the building. I was checking out the face value of getting into the building if you want to go to whatever they call that place now, Northwest Stadium.
Northwest Stadium.
Yeah. Here's my rule on stadiums. Your original sponsorship is your name. You don't pay me money. I didn't get a check from Northwest. So it's FedEx Field. That's it. Just like MetLife Stadium. And let me warn the Jets and Giants about this. If you ever change the name of MetLife Stadium, unless you're sending me a check, I'm always going to call it MetLife Stadium. Now, Tiki may be nicer. And, you know, doing pre and post, say, oh, yes, we're going to call it Modell's Park. Actually, isn't Modell's out of business?
Yeah,
it is out of business.
Ah, that was a bad example. Nobody beats the Wiz Stadium.
Another great one. Circuit City Field, you want to go there next?
That's a good one. But to me, it's always what it was originally called. Now, before we get back to your phone calls and we make our Jets and Giants predictions, I received a text message from a buddy of mine, and it was fascinating. He just wrote to me, wow. I see the wow. I'm like, oh, God, wows are scary, Teak. And the next sentence was Yankees lineup. So when I saw that, of course, the Yankees are playing a huge game tonight, a game you'll hear right here on the Fan, Yankees Blue Jays. They're now three games back in the American League East, and they play Toronto head-to-head. So I see wow Yankees lineup, and my brain is starting to, like, go nuts. Like, what's the wow? Like, what could be the wow? Now, I've looked at the Yankee lineup, and I got to tell you, I think the wow was worthy.
Yeah.
And there were three wows. I mean, I'm going to go in, like, little order to big order. Little wow number one is Ben Rice's catching, which is kind of funny because he can't catch a cold after we watched him last night. But Ben Rice's catching.
That was at first base.
Correct. He's not exactly a gold glove catcher either, but
whatever. He's learning. He's
fine. So Ben Rice's catching, not really a wow, but fine. Aaron Judge is playing right field. That's a wow.
That's
only
a wow.
Because, A, it's great news for Judge and the Yankees, but also, like, they didn't really kind of let us know. It was always, it'll happen soon. We're not sure when. They didn't give us that date, and I think that's the best way you should go about things, Deke. Don't build it up. Just let it happen.
Right. Don't set an expectation that you can't meet, like they did with Giancarlo Stanton. But Giancarlo Stanton set that expectation, and he met it last
Absolutely.
Year. And it was great because he came back and he was fantastic.
Yes. So Aaron Judge is playing right field tonight. I think that's all great news. But the third thing deserves a wow, and I would actually change the wow. I would say thank God. That's how I'd phrase it. I'd say thank freaking God. I'll even add a freaking. The shortstop for the New York Yankees tonight is not Anthony Volpe.
Let's go!
He is not the starting shortstop. If you want to call it a benching, we could call it a benching. I just call it playing your best option. So Jose Caballero is the starting shortstop for the New York Yankees in the biggest game of the season they've played thus far because they're playing the team they're chasing in the American League East.
All right. The other thing you didn't mention was Paul Goldschmidt is playing first base with Ben Rice catching. The lineup is Grisham leading off at center field, Rice, Judge in right field, Bellinger, Stanton in the five-hole, Jazz, Chisholm, Paul Goldschmidt, McMahon, and then Caballero.
And by the way, Jazz playing is also a good note because remember, he left yesterday's game. It was really odd, and then they called it like two different injuries.
Yeah, they said two knee bruises or contusions or something like that.
The fact that he's back in the lineup is a great sign, so that is another newsworthy option. But Jose Caballero, the starting shortstop, and I got to commend Aaron Boone. He finally did it right.
He did it right, and I wonder if Aaron Boone and the Yankees actually saw what I saw this, which I was stunned that there was no reaction on the broadcast.
Yeah.
That second play with Ben Rice where he missed the ball. Mm-hmm. The whole play starts with a terrible flip by Volpe, which throws Caballero off. His throw is low, goes through Rice. And by the time it got to Rice, we were blaming Rice. We were blaming a throw. It all starts because it's an easy flip.
It probably was, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It definitely contributed to it in some capacity because there's only so many times where you can keep talking up the issues that we know we're seeing right in front of us, meaning talking away the issues that we all know.
Yes.
And so Anthony Volpe needs to sit down. I mean, he's not going to get sent down, but he needs to sit down for a little while.
I think we all have a different date when we get to this point, but there comes a part of the baseball season, because baseball is such a long year. And as much as we treat every game and every series like the World Series, it's not.
No.
Obviously, there comes a time in the season where the odds are just, I mean, the stakes are higher. Is the word I'm looking for. And I think we have reached the part of the baseball season. The Mets are there. They just optioned Kodai Senga to the minor leagues. We are at the point of the baseball season where you are no longer trying to develop guys. You're no longer trying to fix guys. You're literally putting the guys out there that give you the best chance to win. Doesn't mean you're giving up on the player. Doesn't mean they won't be here next year. But it means that, hey, now we just got to win. And maybe it's because it's Toronto. And this is incredibly important. I can't stress how important this series is. If the Yankees lose this series, the AL East is over. Now, they already are not going to have the tiebreaker against Toronto.
Well, you need to sweep.
Right. No, I don't think you need to. I think if you win two out of three, you're still in it.
No, you are. But if you sweep, it just makes it more likely.
Yes.
Oh, well, absolutely. I mean, yes.
And it doesn't get any easier, though, because after that, you go to Detroit, and then it's Boston.
Boston.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And think about it. If you win two out of three, you're still going to leave here because of the tiebreaker. Two back, effectively, of Toronto. That's why I think a sweep is so paramount.
No, but remember this. They've already lost the tiebreaker, okay? That is not changing. So it's literally, how do I make up enough ground to pass Toronto? They're three games back, which means they're four games back, right? They got to make up four games. If you win two out of three and you're three back, I still feel you can make up those games over the final few weeks of the year. If you don't win two out of three and you're four back, but really five back, you're not making that ground up. So that's all I mean. Obviously, a sweep gives you a better chance. No kidding. So I think my point is Boone has reached the point where he said, I got to put the guys out there that give me the best chance to win. At least that's how I interpret this lineup. Judge has been the outfield. Volpe's not at shortstop. I think feelings are out the window. Development is out the window. Who gives me the best chance to win? And I said this to you guys yesterday. I'm at the point. I know you're at the point. Caballero gives him the best chance to win.
Absolutely.
So why mess around? So I commend the Yankees for finally doing the right thing.
I do too. And I think off of last night too, he's rewarding that team and saying, you guys just battled and won a game that you have lost all year last night to the Houston Astros. Could have seen them blowing that game a million times this year, and they didn't. Here we go. Go to war with what our playoff lineup should be.
One last thing about the Yankees, and we'll get back to your phone calls. Football, baseball, it's all on the table. I had a big issue with Aaron Boone challenging the Trammell bat late in last night's game. For those that didn't see it, Taylor Trammell, former Yankee, ripped the double in the ninth inning. Game was pretty much out of hand. And the Yankees decided, and they've known this, I guess, for a day or two, that they didn't really trust Trammell's bat. They thought it was an illegal bat. And so what proceeded to occur was about a 12-minute delay with them analyzing the bat, looking at the bat, and then finally they confiscated the at-bat or the bat, and they're going to look at it. Here's why I hated this. First of all, who cares about Taylor Trammell? That's number one. And number two, you made David Bednar stand on the mound waiting for the game to resume. He ended up bringing the tying run to the plate after he gave up the hit to Jordan and another walk. I thought there was more harm than good for Aaron Boone being petty about a bat and the umpires in this series.
Why are you bringing that up? It didn't matter.
Because it could have mattered.
But it didn't.
So I should never mention it?
Of course. I mean, you can mention it.
I don't
but
believe it, in
like,
that.
You
taking.
Feel like you're getting emotional about it in some capacity. It doesn't matter.
Because I believe in being honest
maybe
with how you feel in the
maybe
moment.
He was making a point.
What was the point?
He was tired of being screwed by the ref, the umpire.
Yep. So what? So, okay, great. What does that do?
We're going to make you miss your flight, Brian Walsh. How about that? You and your Red Sox shirt and your carry-on. You're going to miss your flight because we're going to delay this game.
Right.
And also, maybe a little message from Brian Cashman. We haven't forgotten that the Astros possibly took a ring from us. We're going to remind the world one last time you're still up to old antics with a guy that we know from our organization is doing
so. Your payback is to go after Taylor Trammell? I mean,
look,
what are we doing?
Come on, Evan, look, did you see the bat and the spot on it? There was something off there last night.
I am not saying that the bat is completely legal.
Okay,
what
if it comes back as illegal?
Still a waste of time. It's the ninth inning with an 8-2 lead. What are we doing?
Because people are trying to cheat to beat the Yankees, and it's only typified because Brian Walsh is terrible at his job. I mean, it was bad enough when he was behind the dish calling balls strikes and strikes balls, but a clear catch and transfer.
That was bad.
It may have been one of the worst calls I've ever seen.
That was bad.
Clearly it was caught, glove closed, it wasn't even close to the dirt.
Yeah.
He's trying to transfer, non-catch.
That was a terrible call.
Terrible.
And the fact that it can't be reviewed made it worse. But you guys are just deflecting from the fact that it wasn't worth the delay in putting your closer in a tougher spot by making him stand
you know
there like
was?
A moron.
You know why it was?
Go ahead.
Because Bednar's a dog.
Yeah, well, he was a dog. He gave up a hit to Yordan and walked the guy
Doesn't
and brought
matter.
The bases loaded.
Yordan Alvarez might be the best player in baseball right now.
No, it's a couple of days. Let's pipe down.
Doesn't matter. He's been unbelievable.
Let me tell you something, Tiki. He owes me that. Because this guy was the first overall pick in my fantasy draft. He basically missed the entire year. He stunk when he played, and this is the playoffs. So you know what? I may be the only guy in New York saying this. Thank you, Yordan. You owe me. You don't owe Astro fans.
What
you owe
four hits? What have four hits yesterday?
Eight hits in the last 2 days.
It's unbelievable.
Pete Hoffman.
And they're,
like,
not, they're not soft like leakers between the short and second.
The last one was.
Yeah, but I don't, most of them were 115 off the bat.
I know.
Also, it's amazing when Fernando Cruz comes into a game, the beeper on Altuve's chest stops working too, huh? What a pitch.
Wow.
Still throwing
that felt good. It felt good last night.
Now, give Cruz a big credit. He made a big pitch in a big spot. Yep. And the Yankees got the job done. They won a series in Houston. Now, they got to do it again.
Starting to look like the best team in the American League, some are saying.
Yeah.
Starting to look that way.
You're welcome.
We'll see.
Let's go to Tony in Delaware. What's up, Tony?
Hey, what's up, fellas? So you have another host, something Boyle, right? And he always says, "Ayo."
Something Boyle. Right? Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
That Boyle.
You know what "Ayo" is? That is Anthony Volpe. Automatic out. Keep him out of the game. Okay.
I like how you turned Pat Boyle, who does a great job here at The Fan and the Infinity Sports Network, but not known by everybody in the audience. Mm-hmm. You turned his catchphrase into just ripping Anthony Volpe. And I respect that. I appreciate that.
I think that could stick. I think there's a T-shirt gimmick there to be made.
Well, wait. Hold on. We got to figure out if Pat is anti-Volpe.
Yeah, I have no idea. That one I can't.
He is.
He is?
I've done enough gambling shows.
So we can do that then.
Yes.
The real question is going to be, all right, so Caballero plays tonight. No matter what he does, 2-for-4, 0-for-4, 1-for-4. Is the Volpe sitting today a one-night thing or a permanent thing? Because I do think that Caballero should play this entire series.
Right.
And if he goes 0-for-12, okay, then maybe we reevaluate next week. But I do think that Caballero has earned and Volpe has unearned at least the shortstop job for the weekend.
Can I give Aaron Boone a piece of advice on Anthony Volpe? If you're going to play him this weekend, play him Sunday at 1 o'clock. Easier to hide with the NFL on.
Yeah, but there's still going to be 40,000 people in the building.
There will be, but there'll be less talk of it on Monday.
It won't be
around
a talking
New York.
Point.
Oh, yeah, yeah. From a talk radio standpoint, yeah. It'll be buried, but there are going to be 40,000 people there all weekend long, and I wonder if that was in Boone's kind of back of his mind. Yankee Stadium, the crowd boos him. Every time a ball's hit there, they get anxious.
You can't play. This is too big a game. The crowd is going to be angry. I think he knew. The series matters in front of the home crowd.
Right.
And I really do believe
the last
series
mattered too, though. I mean, Astros series. They got away with it. They won the series.
This matters more, though, because of the Blue Jays.
It's a division. Yeah. Of course. It's your chance to win the division, as we talked about to start the show. Win your division. That's all that matters. Doesn't matter the sport.
Justin in Floral Park. What's shaking today, Justin?
What's up, guys? How are you?
We're good. What's happening?
First and foremost, Tiki and Sean, did you guys get my Soto t-shirt?
I did get a Soto t-shirt handed to me. Can I ask you, was that Brandon Tierney's face on it or Juan Soto? There was a little disagreement.
Juan Soto. My 12-year-old son did that for Cooperstown. He made about 10 grand raising it, and they did very well in Cooperstown this year.
I have it on me. I will show the guys in the break.
I didn't get it. You know what? I never check my mailbox. I'll check it just so I look for it.
All right. As far as the Yanks go, I think we're making a statement this weekend. I think we're sweeping these Blue Jays. I'm with Sean. I think he's the best team in the American League right now. If Judge can hit, the team can get back to the World Series. Evan, I know you're a hater of this team. The Buffalo Bills, if healthy, are winning the Super Bowl. I don't care that you ain't Sean McDermott. I don't like you, Evan. So your team sucks. The Jets suck. The Mets suck. The Islanders suck. And the Nets suck, bro.
Well, I mean, I can't disagree with all that. I mean, let's go one by one. The Nets do suck. The Islanders suck. The Mets, they don't suck right now, but they could suck. And the Jets have great potential to suck. Our last caller is very funny.
And thank you for the t-shirt, by the way.
Yeah. What was the t-shirt?
I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know.
I'll get it, Tina Break. It's in my bag. Why would it be? Hold on. I saw this shirt from Sean about a month ago. You carried around for, what, a rainy day? I haven't taken my bag. You want me to leave this right now and get it? No, we'll do it during the break. But the fact that he has it in his bag.
I know.
I never took it out of my bag bringing it home from work.
Well, what is the t-shirt? Because all we can get as the audience and myself is that it's Juan Soto, and Juan Soto looks like Brandon Tierney.
And he's on a centaur. If I'm being completely honest, I don't understand the shirt.
Oh, okay.
So maybe you guys can figure it out.
Juan Soto is on a centaur.
Yes.
Or he is the centaur.
I'm pretty sure he is the centaur.
Okay, so, does it say anything?
It says, like, once. So I, full disclosure, I didn't know whether he was a Met or Yankee fan. I didn't know if it was supposed to rub it in my face or it was an anti-Juan Soto shirt.
Yeah, I think the fact he sent it to you and Tiki makes me think it's anti-Juan okay. Soto because you're Yankee guys. But I will tell our last caller this. He don't have to like me. He don't have to like my teams. I said the Yankees are the best team in the American
no,
League
didn't.
Before Sean did.
I've been telling you this
don't
for
get
weeks.
For that.
I have been telling you this for weeks. Don't parachute in now on my take.
And the other thing is I won't go as far as the Buffalo Bills are winning the Super Bowl because losers lose, and the Bills are losers, even if in my lifetime they've been Super Bowl losers. I do think they're getting to the Super Bowl. I agree with that part. And like one of the issues, Teak, that you have about them is the same issue I had about them yep. a year ago, which is how many playmakers do they have? And yeah. Josh Allen proved last year it didn't even matter. Like they were a top three offense, and yet did they really have a true number one wide receiver?
No, but they had Josh Allen who scored.
They still have Josh Allen.
I know, but how many years in a row can you allow him to rush for 15 touchdowns and to basically do it all?
I think he's got
a few
more.
They didn't have a wide receiver with 700 yards, at least not on this team anymore.
Right.
They're all young, potential type players. So, I mean, Elijah Moore is on this team.
I know.
And so I'm not saying that there is a dearth of talent. I'm just saying it's not that top-end superstar talent around a superstar quarterback. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but they proved last year it didn't matter.
Of course it didn't, because they have Josh Allen.
I also want to make clear, he said something very true. He said, I don't like Sean McDermott. That is true. And I do want to remind the audience why I don't like Sean McDermott. Sean McDermott once tried to pump up his team by saying they should be like the terrorists from 9/11. So I would assume that most people with any blood pumping through their veins would also hate Sean McDermott because he's scum. So I don't regret that. I will say it over and over again. I think people forget it. But yes, Sean McDermott wanted to compare his players to terrorists from 9/11 because he thought they were, what was the word? Was it that they were
banding together.
Right, oh, they were banding together. Yeah. If that's the guy you want to love, God bless you. I guess you have every right to love him. I don't. And I root for him forever.
Root against him.
Yeah. Jesus.
You know where things will get really awkward, and I hope this doesn't happen? Like 7 years from now, when Sean McDermott finally gets fired and Woody Johnson has the brilliant idea of let me get that former successful head coach.
But you know what? You'll get the chance to ask him the question.
Oh, it'll be uncomfortable.
It doesn't matter.
But I'll do it. Walk me through this, Sean.
Being uncomfortable is what it's to be in the public eye. It's what it's about.
That's right. Walk me through, Sean. So when you said your team should be like terrorists, please tell me what was going through your mind. Let's go to, I think it's Dulce in Huntington. I want to be fair and correctly pronounce your name. Dulce, is that your name?
That's it, Dulce.
Well, thank you for calling,
hey,
Dulce. What's up, man?
How you doing? First time,
good.
Long time. I'm calling it.
I appreciate it.
To tell you guys the Jets are going 2-0. Start the season.
Okay.
I know it sounds funny, but really, hear me out. So, first game, we got the squealer. It's going to take Aaron Rodgers a little while to warm up. He's like an old car. So, it's going to take him 2 or 3 games to get his game going. By that time, we're already 1-0.
Okay.
Bills are playing the Ravens Sunday
Let
night.
Letdown effect.
That's
yep.
potentially a loss
yep.
for the Bills.
Yep.
And then we got the Bills coming to MetLife. We're gonna be motivated.
And we play the Bills tough. Like, and Tiki's made the comparison that Josh Allen almost sees the Jets and like
yes.
takes it for granted.
Well, he thinks he can do whatever he wants against them, so he throws ill-advised passes. And in the Jets, to their credit, they make him pay for them. They intercept them.
If Dulce is right, I just want to warn you, friendly. I want to warn you. If the New York Jets are 2-0. And they started the season by beating Aaron Rodgers, and then they follow it up by beating Sean McDermott and the Buffalo Bills. I'm sorry, guys. I can't control what I am that Monday. It is going to be, you think I'm obnoxious now? And I mean, I don't think I'm obnoxious, but I guess a lot of people do, and I respect that. Oh, Tiki.
I can't wait for both the Giants and the Jets to be 2-0 to see which one of you two knuckleheads are louder.
Yeah, that's
on Monday.
That's a tough one.
Sounds like a fun show.
I mean, that's a good show, though, because everybody's happy.
Of course.
Right.
So, like,
obnoxious and happy is fun.
Yeah,
because obnoxious and mad is not so much so.
And add into that weekend, DeGrom no hits the Mets.
Oh.
That's not going to impact me.
I think you'd be happy. You'd be happy for the guy.
I'll be happy. It depends. Where am I in the wild card standings?
Oh, you're well ahead.
Then I'm good.
Okay.
I mean, the Mets got no hit twice in 2015. Speaking of 2015, New York Mets, it's going to be related to the Giants. I'm like Sean here.
I shouldn't have made the decline.
I know.
No. Sorry, Teague. We were that close.
Guy, it's a Giants point. Okay. You're all good. So earlier in the show, you could rewind on the Odyssey app, we were talking about this Giants situation. Brian Daboll's been here for multiple years. He almost has a new lease on life. What team would you compare them to? And I got an email from a diehard Met fan who said, this Giant team could be, get ready for this, the 2015 Mets. Hear them out.
What happened in 2014?
2014, they weren't good. They were under 500. And Terry Collins had been here for 4 years. They were under 500 every year. So not exactly the same.
Right.
But I think a lot of fans were like, he ain't the guy. Much like a lot of Giant fans were, Daboll ain't the guy.
I think it was split.
On which? On Daboll?
Daves.
Yeah, okay.
I really do.
Yeah. Re-listen to shows in early January, bro. But the Mets ended up going to the World Series. And it was the fifth year of that. They had an infusion of young talent. Hello, Giants. And so that was the comp. And that is the best case comp. Because if you're in the Super Bowl, I think that's pretty good.
Well, not only that, what does it align with? Who won the World Series in 2015?
The Kansas City Royals.
Who lost the World Series in 2014?
The Kansas City Royals.
Who lost the Super Bowl last year?
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Who could win the Super Bowl over the Giants this year?
The Kansas City Chiefs.
They could tie in and be the second team to lose to a Kansas City team on the same
So I want to make it clear, you are signing right now to lose the Super Bowl to the Kansas City Chiefs.
How does your mind work like that? Where you just all of a sudden find these parallels. You did it with the Rangers off of the most random nonsense. Mm-hmm. A president dying. What was the other?
The president didn't even die.
But some president died.
It was
somewhere.
Jimmy Carter he was talking about.
OJ died.
OJ died.
There was a lot of death. Tiki, I have very few life skills. Being able to pull sports almanac stuff out of my brain, one of very few.
It's called lipstick on a pig. That's what he's doing. He's trying any way to get himself optimistic.
Right. In fairness, I did start the 2015 thing. So yeah. It didn't just pop up out of nowhere. But that's the best comparison we could come up with.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.